Yeah. Yeah, lady. Well, you know how it is when you got a few good men. You know, we just wanted to let you ladies get just a small taste of what was happening last weekend. We went away with boys with noise and came back with men with music. So we thought that we better get this music out where it was hot. We got all the speaking CDs ready. So if you want the whole series, we are ready for that. You need to put your orders in. And when you get your order, we are ready to just pop them out. No more 3, 4, 5 weeks before you can get them. And we got a special treat. We burned some CDs of the men's theme song. All right, so Richard, where are you? Richard, why don't you stand up? Richard. So after the service, you guys are going to get the first opportunity to pick up some of those Looking for a Few Good Men CDs. About $3. That'd be good? $3. We'll be up front. Just come up and just grab them. We got them until they go, and then we'll just print some more. Lady. Did your men notice a difference when they came home with a lack of worry? Ooh, that was a big one, wasn't it? Last week, we took the whole idea of Revelation and we walked through, if we are victorious as believers, if we know we're going to win, if we have cheated and read the last chapter in the book, and we know that we're on the winning side, why, as believers, do we worry? If you know what the final story is, why get worried when you get behind in the first quarter? So we talked about be happy. Don't worry. So guys, I want you to hold the ladies accountable. And the other guys, what they heard last week about not worrying because of how we win in the book of Revelation. And ladies, I want you to hold the guys responsible for when they came back learning how to be true men of God. Because I want you ladies to know, if we can make men of God, we are warriors. You have nothing to worry about. And it's nothing that we're saying that men are more important than you are. It's just the fact that we want to do it according to what the scriptures say. And that is, if we can make men leaders of the home and leaders of this church, you will be well taken care of as a woman. And that's why I'm looking for a few good men. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. You guys need to pray because we need to do 10 verses. Next Sunday will be Youth Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be an exciting time. Sunday after that, it's the 24th. We want to finish chapter 13. We'll take a break in the book of Revelation, and we'll kick it back off in August. So I want to finish chapter 13, so when we come back, we kick into chapter 14 as we get ready to finish this book, hopefully. That's a prayer. That's a prayer. Amen. 2 years in the book of Revelation, and we're just now getting into chapter 13. We're really rolling in this book. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. And Father, you know, my prayer is that you will move me out of the way. That you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Lord, for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. Father, may we all be changed because of your word and because we know we win. Worry is a sin. and not being what you've called us is a sin. And Lord, we're here today to help eliminate sinning by understanding your word. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. Chapter 13, the book of Revelation. You got to understand now, between every sixth and seventh set of campaigns that God is going to throw on the world. Remember when we had the first kingdom, world kingdom, Babylonian, the Babylonian kingdom. When we had the second world kingdom, Medes and the Persians. When we had the third world kingdom, the Greek. And when we had the Roman world kingdom, God put into focus Satan's plan to substitute what God's final plan was. And each world kingdom represented a power of Satan to come upon the world to try to kill God's plan. And every world kingdom that moved into to take over a nation or a country would put that country under siege when it refused to submit to that world power. And each one of them would send campaigns, one campaign after another campaign, until it broke that nation's back. And then it would come in with a final battle when it knew it was ready to take over that country, and it would wipe out all the leaders and take over and rule with an iron hand. That's the first four world kingdoms was done that way. God says there's only going to be five world kingdoms. The great Hannibal tried to come in to whip up on Rome. And God says, oh, no, not you. I'm sorry. You're not Christ. So I'm going to freeze your elephants. And the mighty Hannibal went back to Africa with his elephant between his legs. Amen. God says, I'm going to be the fifth world kingdom. And I'm going to come. And right now, my ambassadors and my embassies called the church. It's supposed to be here in the world, warning the world that I'm coming back to take over. And what God is going to do when he comes back, he's not coming back as Savior. Amen. He's not coming back as a suffering servant. Amen. He's not coming back just as the King of the Jews. Amen. When he comes back this time in the book of Revelation, he's coming back as a ruling, judging, killing king. He's not going to take any prisoners. And it's not going to be anyone that's going to say, well, I don't like this. He came humbly the first time to lead us into the church age. But he's coming as a conqueror. And we, the church, are supposed to be warning the world that he's coming back in a total different tone. And we are the only ambassadors and embassies in the history of world kingdoms that has failed their job. Revelation 2 and 3 says that there are five out of seven churches that has failed their job in letting the world know that God is coming back. That's where we are. When he does come back, he's going to hit with seven seals. We've gone through that. First campaign, seven seals. Between the sixth and the seventh seal, that was a break in the book of Revelation. Next set of campaigns was the seven trumpets. We're now into the seventh trumpet. There's a break between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Those are the verses that we're in now. The seventh trumpet is going to turn loose the seven bowls. God's going to put 21 campaigns on the world, going to break the world's back. Then it's going to come in with the final battle, Armageddon, Armageddon, any way you want to pronounce it. It's going to be a serious takeover. Now, when we got to chapter 12 last week and touched upon this, we realized why there would never be another kingdom. Because the leader of the first four, being Satan, will be defeated by Jesus Christ himself when he comes. They threw him out of heaven last week. Remember that? Did a body slam all the way to the earth and said, don't come back. So when you defeat the one that has been leading all the rebellion and don't give him permission anymore to have any power, you know what is about to happen. Now we come to chapter 13. Satan has just been thrown out of heaven permanently. And things are going to get rough on the earth. Are we ready? Here we go. Read with me. First 10 verses. Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. There's been so much, I believe, wrong teaching on these verses that most of us believe the Bible because we don't know what it says. Amen. Many of us have doctrine that we have and have held on to because we have been taught that that's what the Bible says. And once we get into it, we find out the Bible never said that. My denomination did. My particular church did. My family did. What is more important, church or the Word of God? Your parents are the Word of God. Your children are the Word of God. Your pastor are the Word of God. Well, you didn't have to say it with that much conviction. Amen. Stay on the Word. If your church, your pastor, your parents, your children, any denomination messes over the Word of God, they got to go. You keep the Word. Listen to this. And they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What are we talking about? When Satan is thrown out of heaven, he has one thing in mind. I only have a short time left. And that short period is 3.5 years. The second part of the tribulation period, 42 months, 1,260 days, any way you want to look at it, when he hits the ground, he is going to pour all of his power into his son called the Antichrist, as God the Father poured all of his power into his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the flesh. We have established he is a defeated foe, but his number one responsibility is to take as many with him as he can when he goes. Now, we've already said if you are a believer, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. But we also stated last week, if you don't belong to Christ, if you are not a Christian, if you don't belong and covered by the blood of the Savior, the slain Lamb himself, who has risen and defeated death in your life, you have a serious reason to worry. How serious? Let me show you what kind of leader Satan's going to put out on the world. Read with me verse 1, chapter 13. This is John, who's writing the book of Revelation, who has been taken to very heaven of heaven itself in the future. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Many people say, well, isn't that what we just read about? Is that who we just studied? Is the beast Satan himself? I don't think so. There's a difference, just a small difference. But if you don't read, you won't see the difference between the beast and the dragon in chapter 12. Turn back to chapter 12. Beginning with verse 3. And there appeared another one in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. In this description of the red dragon, Satan himself coming out of the bottomless pit, being thrown out of heaven and hitting the ground. Where are the crowns? Look at where the crowns are. The crowns is on what? On his heads. All right. Go back to 13, verse 1, and let's see where the crowns are. And I stood up on the sand in the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns. Can't hear you. That wasn't a very good response to the pastor when he's trying to bring some observations to you. The crowns is on his horns. And we're going to get into here a little bit, and we're going to go back, and I want you to see the difference in what's going to be said in verse 2 compared to what was said in Daniel chapter 7. We know that the beast is totally different than the dragon. The dragon is going to say, okay, now if I come out and start doing my thing and people can see me, deception won't be as great. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use the same plan that God the Father used for man. Because if I had come down as God myself, many would have been, many would have died. So I eliminated being spirit. I came down in flesh, lived among man, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but made myself a little lower. That I put myself in the flesh. Can't hear you. Only difference is Satan can't become a man. Satan won't be born in the flesh. What Satan's going to do is to substitute how God did it and get someone to submit to him with all of their power. And he's going to pour himself in flesh already instead of becoming flesh. See, Satan can only substitute. He can't do exactly as God can. Can I get a witness? Pastor's awesome this morning, isn't he? Some of you going, I hadn't heard anything yet. Say the pastor's awesome. Okay then. You asked for it. Are we ready? Check this out. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. And his feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Isn't that the way they sound? Ever seen Wizard of Oz? I like to use those biblical references. Oh, be quiet over there, son. All right. He had the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. How would you like for someone who literally hates every bit of you to have complete power over you? Wait a minute. Wait. Come on, Jerry. Talk to the pastor. How would you like to have someone over you who does not have to answer to any authority, who can do whatever he wish to you, and he hates you to the marrow of your bone? This is what's going to happen to the world when the Antichrist takes over. And do you understand, there's no police officer, no judge, no court, no military power that's going to stop him from doing what he wants to do to the world. And he is going to hate a particular set of people more than anyone else. I want to ask you, you want to take the chance to be under this ruler? See, that's a chance. I want to give you a sure thing. And that's to be in Christ.
Amen.
Don't take a Phi Beta Kappa to figure out those choices shouldn't be hard to make. Are we having fun or you just trying to fake me out this morning, huh? Now look at this. He's like a what? Verse 2. What's the first animal? Come on, talk to me. He's like a leopard. And the second animal? A bear. And the third animal? You remember what we said at Armageddon? Remember when we were talking about Armageddon? When all the armies going to gather in the valley of Armageddon. And, oh, they're going to come from the east and they're going to look like a leopard. They're going to come from the west. They're going to look like a lion and a dragon. They're going to come from the east and going to look like a bear. And then the Christians going to show up looking like a slain lamb. But what's the difference between all those ferocious animals and the slain lamb? The slain lamb stood up. How can you defeat someone who has defeated death? Christians is going to be winners. I can't get excited for you. Man, the man's working hard here, but don't seem like it's working. Daniel chapter 7. It's going to be good stuff here. I want you to see what's going on. In my Bible, it's page 907. Daniel chapter 7, beginning with verse 3. I want to show you something here. When they're saying the beast is going to come out of the sea, they try to make it more than what the scriptures make it. When they say the head wound was healed, they try to make it more than what the scriptures make it. And the reason why the book of Revelation oftentimes is so confusing is because everyone's trying to throw in their theology instead of just keeping their thoughts out of it and just leave it up to the Bible. Can't hear you? And this is good, isn't it? Now watch this, verse 3, Daniel 7. And four great beasts came up from the sea. Keep your finger right there. Keep your finger right there. Let me read something to you. And the beast which I saw, 13:2 of Revelation, like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him all of his power and authority. Where did he rise from? According to verse 1, he says he rose from the sea. Go back. 7, verse 3, where did the other great beast come from? The first four, we know that that's Babylonia. We know it is the Medes and the Persians. We know it's Alexander the Great at the Greeks. And we know it's the Roman Empire. They all rose out of the sea. Now, many people try to make the Antichrist coming out of the sea a miraculous thing. And his head wound a miraculous thing. Over here in Daniel, it says that all four of these kingdoms rose out of the sea. It is the sea of mankind. Humankind, just like you and I. So the beast is going to be a human being, just like you and I. Nothing fantastic about it. Nothing mystical about it. These other four kingdoms came out of the sea. What sea? Mankind. Okay, are we fluent? Check this out, watch this. Verse 4. The first was like a lion. Who? He had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet of the man. And a man's heart was given to it. Nebuchadnezzar. Babylonian captivity. Smoking. Ha! Can't hear you. Boy, the Bible is a great history, isn't it? God, watch this. Ooh. And the second one, behold, verse 5, another beast. And the second was like a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in his mouth. It was a soul bear. He was at a barbecue with some ribs. Ah, it's a soul bear. Maybe I'm imposing on the scriptures here. A little impositional study, I guess. Hey, well, I guess I better back off a little bit. I think it was the Medes and the Persians, and I think the three ribs represented the leaders, the three leaders, basically, of the Medes and the Persians' kingdom. Had three ribs in his mouth. Or it could mean, it's been translated, that he represented the first three of the world kingdoms. He had more power as the first three. I think it meant the leaders. He had it between his teeth. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Then verse 6, after this, behold, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon his back four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. That's the reason why I break it down that it was the three leaders in the second kingdom, Medes and Persians, there in verse 5, is because it's explained how it explains verse 6, the third kingdom. Okay? What it says is, it was, had a leopard that had wings, means swiftness. If you look at Alexander the Great, he only ruled very not from age 19 to age 33 and conquered the world. And then he died. So his kingdom was this. He was very quick. It was swift. Leopard with wings. It's the Bible also. Huh? And then it says it had four what? Four heads. And dominion was given unto it. When Alexander the Great died. Now this is Daniel, folks, written thousands of years back. Before it ever happened. When the Medes and the Persians fell, Alexander the Great took over. When Alexander the Great died, when he was 33, they divided his kingdom up into four kingdoms and four kings. Is the Bible awesome? Now, I want to show you something here. This is smoking, and if you don't watch out, you'll miss this. Daniel starts with what animal? The lion, and then the bear. And then the leopard. Over here in Revelation, John starts with who? The leopard. Then the bear. And then the lion. They're totally opposite. Have you ever wondered why? Some of you are looking to go, I didn't even know they was opposite. So don't be trying to throw your education at me. You see, it's very simple. It's very simple. Daniel is looking from the past to the future. So if he's looking from the past to the future, the first one he sees is Babylon. He's looking from the Babylonian point of view on through the Medes and the Persians, on through the Greeks to the Romans. Well, John is looking at it from the future. Back. He's looking at it from the Roman standpoint, looking back at the Greeks, looking back at the Medes and Persians, on back to Babylonia. Is this just awesome or what? A man can preach his heart out, and you East Siders would just sit there. Entertain me, Jack. Next Sunday, I think you should turn your Nintendos and your television and your radios off for 1 week so you can get excited when the pastor does something without theatrics. Okay, just a suggestion. You don't have to do it. Verse 7, after this, I saw in the night visions, And behold, a fourth beast. Uh-oh. Dreadful and terrible. Uh-oh. You were talking about Rome. And strong exceedingly. Uh-oh. And it had great iron teethuses. That's how we say it in my neighborhood. Teethuses. Teethuses. Ooh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Ooh, and it devoured and broke in pieces, stamped the residue with its... Ooh, this is hot. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Uh-oh. We're getting back close to Revelation chapter 13. Look at verse 8. And I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Who do you think the little horn is coming up between the 10 horns when he plucks up 3 horns? Who only leaves 7. Go back to Revelation chapter 13. When we break it down and make it English? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Here we go. Verse 3, 13. And I saw one of his heads as though it was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Here we go. Rome, world kingdom, was never defeated. It was dispersed. 10 kingdoms, 10 heads, and out of the 10 horns is going to rise a little horn out of Daniel, ripping out 3 of the horns, plucking them out, and the little horn is going to speak great things. You know who the little horn is? The Antichrist. In Daniel, he sees it as a little horn. In Revelation, he explains the little horn. Look at this, this is smoking. Are you having fun yet? Okay, watch it. Look at it. And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death. Ooh, what's this wound? Anyone know what this wound is? I'll tell you what the wound is. When Rome was dispersed, it got a wound in the head. Remember, it was never defeated. Amen? Just dispersed. Poof, it got a fatal wound in the head, and it looked like it's all dead. Everyone think it's dead. In Revelation, God is going to heal that wound. Rome is going to rise back up with 10 nations, 10 kingdoms. Can't hear you. Amen. And Rome's going to come back together because God needs to kill the fourth world kingdom. So God's going to let it resurrect. Ah! And outside of the resurrection of the Roman Empire again, when it is healed and becomes that nation of commerce, United Nations, the Euro dollar, one world order, the World Bank, everything in this country is being set up for out of that 10 world kingdom, 10 kings is going to bring the Roman Empire back and heal of that deadly wound, a little horn. It's going to sneak up. And God of this world, Satan, is going to pour all of his power into him. Do you think the world is set up for a peacemaker? One that's going to bring everyone together, solve some major problems. And if you are not a believer at that time, you're going to be fooled. And they worship the dragon. They don't know they're worshiping the dragon. They're going to think it's a neat kind of guy that's going to bring economic status.
stability.
Isn't it amazing? The last 8 years of the United States was led by a man proven to be low down and dirty, untrustworthy and full of sin. But the world thought he was doing good for the economy. So they said he's good. Keep him in there.
Setting up like a little horn. To sneak in. Oh, power, peace, tranquility, death. They don't seem to go together, does it? That's why Satan is the great deceiver. Am I enjoying this? I shouldn't enjoy this, should I? Woo.
Oh, you guys are lucky. You only got 3 minutes. And I got to finish off 10.
Check this out.
And with power, he had given to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, the Antichrist, saying, who is like him who can wage war against the beast? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. You know, it's always a wonder, isn't it? That after a while, someone with great power, if they don't have something over them that's greater to keep their mind and keep them humble, will always start reading their press clippings and start believing them. And all of a sudden, they're going to make you want to worship them. And then they're going to say, God isn't real. Start blaspheming. Check it out, check it out, check it out. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. God says, I'm going to give him enough power to last through the 7 bowls. Where does this power come from? Most people think it's just from Satan. But it's got to come from God allowing him to do it. Why? Because it's judgment time on the world. Not from Satan, but from God. And God's going to give Satan a lot of freedom to wear the world out along with what he's going to do. And he blasphemed God's name. And he blasphemed his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Ooh, we're going to really break it down when we get to Revelation chapter 17. We're just going to give you the umbrella view right now. But we're going to break down what some of that's going to happen, what he's going to do, and how he's going to walk in the temple, and how he's going to set up his pitch in the temple, and how he's going to say, you're going to worship me. And if you don't worship me, you are dead. The Antichrist is kind of a schizophrenic. You know what I mean? It's going to be the exact prime picture of smiling on this side of his face and stabbing you in the back on this side of his face. And it was given unto him, verse 7, to make war with the saints. Don't talk to me about the saints won't be persecuted and killed. Because God, in his judgment, because many won't accept him until after the tribulation starts. That is never heard. That series that we've been seeing is a real popular series. Left Behind, real good series. Real close to Scripture. One thing I think they got bad, wrong. And that is, if you've ever heard the gospel before the tribulation period, you're going to be blinded and you're not going to accept. Only those who've never heard is going to receive. Are you glad you're in the kingdom? Are you glad we're going to be like the second beast eating ribs? You don't think God can make some serious barbecue sauce, huh? Lamb feast of believers, baby, while this is going on. We're going to be looking down and going, oh, that hurt. Oh, man. I'm sorry. And all that dwell upon the earth. Your God's going to let them wreak havoc on the saints. All that live. I believe all, most if not all, Gentile believers during the tribulation will probably be killed. Most if not all. We know the 144,000, that's where we're going to get back into it in chapter 14. We know the 144,000 is going to be protected. And we know that there's going to be a Jewish remnant of believers that's going to be protected. That's going to go into the millennial period. But when Satan turns all of his power onto my boy, majority of believers that are Gentile, is going to be killed by the Antichrist. Watch this. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, my goodness. If any man have an ear, let him hear. This is to the church right now. This isn't to the people here in tribulation. That's why it's so hard to watch out, and you got to watch how it tone changes. And he says, this is written, I know, for a period of time before the tribulation, and I want all you that have an ear to hear to understand what's coming. And he says, get ready. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. Don't listen. Your sin will lead you into captivity. Your flesh will lead you into captivity. The world system will lead you into captivity. And then he says, he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. He says, don't worry, saints. It's an encouragement. Verse 9 is an encouragement to us. He said, don't worry. Those that are killing you, those that are putting you down, those that are trying to destroy you, don't worry. I'm going to get them. I'm God. And I get them. When it looks like they're getting away with it, just remember the last chapter. When you get depressed and you ask, where is God? He said, don't lose heart. I'm here. And I'm going to come through when I desire to come through. You just be a good witness until I decide to get you out of it and quit whining, you mammy pammy evangelic fish with no spiritual vertebrae. You are warriors. Amen.